Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. Morning, everybody. Can you hear me all right? Good, good. Risen with healing in his wings. Well, I wanted to think a little bit this morning about the kind of healing that we might all need. It's been a tempestuous week, hasn't it? In all sorts of ways. And when we look at our world today, we can be in no doubt that it needs healing. It's not just that the planet is capable of some pretty scary stuff at times. This week we've had fires in Sydney, terrifying fires in Sydney that have hardly been on the news at all, have they? And yet, people are living in fear in a really, really advanced city. There seems to be no control over the fires. Pretty scary stuff. This was Venice a few weeks ago. Now, we're used to seeing water in Venice, but not where you're supposed to be sitting and having your ice cream. Yorkshire. A few weeks ago, it comes off the news cycle, doesn't it? But, you know, I think the average length of time people are out of their home after a flood is well over a year. You know, disruption and pain just a few miles up the M1. And of course, as we've heard from Dave's prayer letter, disruption, injury and death in Albania. You know, the planet is capable of some pretty scary stuff, but it also seems to be that we have made those natural events so much more catastrophic by our abuse of the planet or the poverty in which people who are near these things live. And I'm not sure what worries me more, the fact that the poor still seem to come off worse in these situations, or that in the last few weeks we've heard virtually nothing about anything but our own election and our own problems. We surely need some healing here. What about the stuff closer to home? I think what we can all agree on is that the new government, whether we voted for them or not, has a lot of work to do to bring unity and equity in our nation. I can find it quite difficult sometimes to get a handle on quite how broken our country is sometimes. I think, you know, we are quite protected here, aren't we, in Croxley Green? We do have poor people living in Croxley Green. There is poverty here. But we can quite easily skim over it, can't we? Unless we're one of the volunteers at the food bank, unless we get directly involved. Perhaps some of you that work in schools are aware of a bit more poverty. But this week I watched a panorama documentary on universal credit. Did anyone else see that? If you want to be depressed, look it up on the iPlayer. Ordinary families who have worked their whole lives, forced to go on universal credit because they've been injured or because their circumstances have changed, and absolutely desperate. They profiled a gentleman who had a terrible back injury, I think from his work, who'd been on the wrong level of benefit the whole time, hadn't been getting his disability benefit. And when the Citizens Advice Bureau phoned up the government department to see how long it would take for his appeal to be heard so that he could actually pay his rent, he was told it would take between 52 and 54 weeks. That's over a year for someone to be in debt through no fault of their own. And when I read that there are 14.3 million people living in actual poverty in this country, I start to get a bit of a feel about how bad things are. Actual poverty means that whether or not they are working, and often they are, these people are struggling to afford the basics of everyday life. But something I read this week, actually on Facebook from another minister, shook me to the core about how much healing we need in this country. Did you know that in the UK at the moment, there are more food banks than branches of McDonald's? You think about how many McDonald's you see as you drive around. They're everywhere, aren't they, those golden arches? And yet, there are more food banks in the UK than there are McDonald's. In fact, if you were put together all the McDonald's and all the Burger Kings combined in the UK, there would still be more food banks. Just imagine for a minute all the people in this country who need those food banks, because they're not there because nobody needs them. They're there because they're being used. And for every one of those over 2,000 food banks, there are people arriving every week, often people who are working, unable to feed their families. Do we need healing this Christmas? You bet we do. One of the best things about Christmas is that we can invite so many people into the church and share the good news with them. The good news that Jesus told that person to go back and tell John the Baptist about. But this year, us ministers and the deacons have been praying for something more than that. You see, we are not satisfied with seeing people come into our church and have a lovely time at our various services this Christmas. We are desperate that all those who come to our services have a realization of their need for healing. That they will realize that beneath the veneer of our very comfortable and superficially successful lives, we are all in need of healing, as much as the person queuing for the food bank. You see, Jesus did not come at Christmas to make people feel comfortable, to make people feel cozy, with a nice warm glow inside. If he was going to do that, he would have been born in a palace and he wouldn't have ruffled so many feathers for the whole of his life. No, even the infant Jesus came to unsettle and disturb, to jolt people awake and make them realise their own need for healing. The angels announce that he has come to lift up the humble and bring the mighty down, to bring good news of great joy. But of course, it's only good news of great joy if you realise your need for it in the first place. So what kind of healing does this good news bring? Well, maybe the lyrics of Charles Wesley's hymn can help us. At heart, the Herald seems to me to be full of gospel messages, doesn't it? It's typical Charles Wesley. You know, people like Charles Wesley and Isaac Watts, they didn't write hymns because they thought that would be a great way of being remembered. They wrote so many hymns because basically they wrote jingles for people to remember their sermons by. Because in an age where people were illiterate quite often, they needed something they could hang it on. So they wrote things to tune so that people could, as they were going about their daily business, sing words of scripture, sing theology. And that's, I think that's why they've lasted. Because contrary to what they planned for them, which was just as a way for people to remember the sermon during the week, they are full of good news and the gospel. And verse 3 of this wonderful carol tells us a bit about the healer and the kind of healing we can expect. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Well, in a world that has always suffered with strife and conflict, perhaps our biggest need of healing is for peace. Not just peace on a worldwide scale, but personal peace. In fact, I think if we all had personal peace, I doubt that the worldwide conflicts would last very long. And what is it that we need healing from to give us peace? A book I've been reading over the last couple of weeks has some material from Henri Nouwen, who who is a fantastic Catholic theologian. And he suggests that the reason that we don't have peace is because there are three lies that we tell ourselves, or that the evil one prompts us to believe about ourselves, that rob us of our peace. And the three lies are this: I am what I do, I am what I have, and I am what other people say about me. I'm going to read those again. I am what I do, I am what I have, I am what other people say about me. And when you think about it, these lies, and they are lies, eat away at who we are supposed to be. A cherished child of God. And they trick us into something much more fragile and a dangerous way of looking at ourselves. They are at the very root of every conflict and cause every grab for power. Every time someone tramples on someone else to get more influence, it's because they believe the lie that they are what they do. Every time someone succumbs to greed, it's because they believe the lie that I am what I have. And every time someone loses their self-esteem, it's because they believe the lie, I am what other people say about me. And so these lies are at the root of every conflict and every pursuit of greed and every identity crisis. And we all need healing from these lies. And only the Prince of Peace can restore the peace of knowing who we really are and heal us from the lies that we believe about ourselves. Hail the Son of Righteousness. In a world where goodness seems to be in short supply, the Son of Righteousness has something unique to bring in terms of healing. Have you ever sat through a particularly bad edition of the news and longed to hear about something good? When I was a child, the news used to have a little bit of good news at the end, didn't it? Especially over the summer and near Christmas, there was nearly always a bit of good news. But I don't know, sometimes we have that, but often we don't these days. William Shakespeare, in The Merchant of Venice, has a wonderful line. So shines a good deed in a weary world. Isn't that a beautiful bit of English? And it's such a good phrase that it reappears in the film Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Have you ever seen that one? When Charlie Bucket, at the end of a very confusing day at the chocolate factory where everybody ends up a tube or blown up like a blueberry, and he's the only one left and he's told to go home by Willy Wonka because it's all been a disaster. And he goes back and gives Willy Wonka the everlasting gobstopper so that there's no way he can divulge Willy Wonka's secrets to anybody outside. And Willy Wonka, and it's Gene Wilder, I think, in the particular film I'm thinking of, picks up the everlasting gobstopper and says, so shines a good deed in a weary world. And if a good deed shines out in this dark world and brings a sense of healing, imagine how the only truly good life in a sinful world might bring us permanent healing. Light and life to all he brings. Not only does his righteousness bring healing, but his life brings light and life to all of us. We all, I think, understand the significance of lights at this time of year. In short days and cold nights, Christmas lights can lift our mood and bring life. But these lights, even the ones on Dave and Carolyn's house, are temporary, aren't they? The light and light, life which Jesus brings, are never ending. They are a permanent change of state in a dark world. And how many people queuing for food banks or for their universal credit would love to know light and life? Light and life has generally been sucked and knocked out of them with every difficulty and setback, but Jesus can bring it back. Whenever I watch any of the promotion films made by Christians Against Poverty, and we had one at our women's breakfast earlier in the year, I'm struck by the way that light and life come back into people's worlds who have become so very dark by debt. And it's not just that Christians Against Poverty have stepped alongside them and helped them deal with their debt. It's because these people have discovered Jesus and he has brought light and life. So risen with healing in his wings, yes he is, but how does he do it? Well, the next line gives us a clue. Mild he lays his glory by. I think this is an incredibly well-crafted phrase. It's beautiful and short, and yet it encapsulates the whole utter healing power of the incarnation. Mild, because Jesus doesn't have to strive or boast about who he is. He can afford to come in quietly and gently because he is the King of Kings. And lays his glory by because he has chosen to leave it all behind and live with all the pain and frustration and down-to-earth joy and disasters of being a human being. No other kind of saviour would bring us healing in our human state. He had to be one of us to redeem who we were meant to be, to show us how to live and to lift our broken lives into his gloriously perfect life. And only a saviour who would stoop to be so present could bring that kind of healing. But of course, that's not all. Born that man no more may die. This tiny baby, born ultimately to die so that we might no longer be enslaved to death. What a healing ministry. Any other kind of healing that we receive is only temporary, isn't it? Whether it comes at the hands of doctors and nurses and our wonderful NHS, or whether it comes majestically through the Holy Spirit, we are all only healed to die again. The only true healing comes from knowing Jesus. This healing, this goes beyond the grave and puts death itself in its place. And in a month where I have done 4 funerals, it's good to know that, isn't it? That each time we confront death, that Jesus is the only person who has really put it in his place. Born to give us second birth. This is the ultimate healing that Micah points to. Jesus didn't just come as a baby to bring individual healing. He came to heal the whole cosmos, the planet, the universe, the whole of history. Find its healing in this Son of God. This is the gift that God gave at Christmas. This is the healing we find in his wings, both individual and immediate and global and eternal. So no matter what kind of healing you need this Christmas, Jesus has it covered. If it's the planet that's keeping you awake at night, he will bring healing, which is why we should start that work now in preparation. If it's broken society that breaks your heart, well, you are in good company. God's heart is breaking too. And he is the one who can bring wholeness if we will work with him. Perhaps it's your personal brokenness that needs healing this Christmas. Maybe you have believed those lies we tell ourselves that we are what we do or what we have or what other people say about us. Well, this Christmas, the Son of Righteousness wants to bring you healing too. He wants to show us that we are so much more than what we do, have, or are to others. We are the precious child he came to save and part of the world he loves so much. And when we get a glimpse of how much he values us, then those lies lose their power and we can know real healing. No wonder the angels were singing. This baby has brought healing to us all.